Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Check out the new Kids Nastics range for young gymnasts at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, we'll be hearing from the managers of St Union's and Dunloe. That's Barry Meehan and Desi Gallagher ahead of this coming Sunday's Donegal Senior Football Championship final. Plus, Killian Duffy of On The Pace Notes will be joining us as well to preview the Donegal Harvest Stages Rally, which takes place on Saturday. It's the final round of the National Rally Championship and the Border Rally Championship as well, so there's lots to play for. We'll hear all about it later on in the programme. But first, in this week's League of Ireland chat, I've been joined by Aidan Fitzmaurice of The Independent and The Herald, up for discussion as the Premier Division title running, which of course involves Derry City, along with Finn Harp's final push to grab a place for a playoff, but it may just be out of their reach with three games left to go. Now, Aidan is in Helsinki for Ireland's game with Finland this evening. And as you'll hear in this piece, which I recorded with him before he headed to the stadium, Aidan isn't very hopeful on an Irish one this evening. Is this a game which will probably suit the Irish to get up and running and get a win, and something that the new manager is very, very keen to get, Aidan?
On paper, yeah, look, they need goals, they need to win, they need to stop the rot. I mean, leave out Gibraltar, they've lost the last eight qualifiers in a row, so they need that. Unfortunately, they're also up against a Finland team who are kind of in a similar position. Finland are on a bad run, a lot of question marks about them. Stadium won't even be half full tonight. They've sold 15,000 tickets, it holds 37,000. Part of that is down to the weather. It's also late kickoff. It's 9:45 local time. So, you know, school night, you're not going to be bringing kids when you're getting home after midnight. But two teams low on confidence. But I just think the feeling is that Finland have a bit more about them. They're at home. I just see a very brittle Irish squad. I'd take a draw at this stage, but unfortunately, I feel it's going to be another Irish defeat.
Yeah. Well, the manager said this week in his press conference that he believes that the squad are in a better place than what they were 4 weeks ago when they lost their two matches against England and Greece. I take it by the way you're talking, you don't agree with that, do you?
No, I do. I think he's playing catch up in Helgrimsson in terms of where the squad was. And I think now we are all suffering from the process where he said he's still learning, but he learned on the job in a camp with competitive games. He should have been able to learn with friendlies in March and or June. So he is kind of behind. I think he's done a few interesting things. He's cut players from the squad. I think that's impressive. That the easy thing to do would have been to keep Matt Doherty and players like that, but he saw that they were clearly underperforming. The problem is where he goes next. If he leaves players out again, there is nobody else knocking on the door. I mean, I think over the years there would have been, you know, cases for players coming in. I remember, like, Kevin Doyle, for example, was a regular in the Reading team before Brian Kerr didn't cap him. It was Steve Staunton who gave him a cap. So players like that, there's no cause célèbre of a player left out like an Andy Reid or a Kevin Doyle or David O'Leary back in the day. The squad is what he has. He's done a few things. He said he's had a lot more meetings. He said he's doing more work in meetings rather than the training ground because he senses that lack of morale. And I suppose the one hope we can draw from in Helgrimsson is that Iceland were very much in this position when he went in there initially as assistant manager, then co-manager, and then manager of his own right, and he took them to help take them to the Euros and to World Cup. So he has done it before, and I think that's interesting as well, that it's not a case of flogging them on the training ground and working them. He knows that he senses that heads are low, morale is low, and trying to get into their heads, and maybe that's in his team talks. Is look what Iceland did. Iceland were nothing when he went in there. They went to the Euros and beat England, so that can be Ireland. But I just think it's going to be short-term pain. I do think it's going to be a defeat tonight. I do think it's going to be a defeat in Athens on Sunday. Then you're hoping for something at home to Finland next month to lift the loom.
Yeah. Well, back then when he was involved in Iceland at the start, there wasn't the same expectation of the manager with that country as what there is with the Republic of Ireland job. I think it's fair to say. He already came in for a bit of criticism after the opening two matches. If there's nothing coming out of the next two, that criticism's going to ramp up again. And is it too early for him to be feeling the pressure, feeling the bite of it?
I don't think so. I mean, a lot of the pressure was outside, it was from people commenting just on his way, like particularly his insistence on not going to games on Saturdays and Sundays. And his argument is his time is better used watching on the laptop. On when he is his wife, with Y Scout now, there was a piece about it in The Independent this week. Y Scout is the app or the service that all clubs and managers and scouts use, that he can watch so many games in a weekend. If he goes to watch, for example, if he went to Parkhead to watch Celtic Aberdeen to see Adam Eda and Liam Scales and Jamie McGrath and Gavin Malloy, okay, he's seen those players up close, but he's missing other games. The travel time, the argument for people, particularly like Brian Kerr famously, when he was Ireland manager, went to 3 games in one day in England. He got a 12:30 kickoff at 3 p.m. and an evening game. So Brian's point is he should be out there beating down the motorways in England, meeting players, not just scouting them in terms of what they do, but meeting them for lunch after, getting to know them. I would still make that same point. I think he should be doing that. I do think he needs to get to know them, but he says that's his way and it's worked for him. We'll see if it works. It's whatever works. It's in the results. If he gets us out of this slump, the Nations League is gone. Now we're battling to avoid relegation. It's really about the World Cup qualifiers in next March. I don't think anybody expects us to qualify for the World Cup. I think we're I think 29th, I think in the UEFA rankings in terms of European countries, 29th, I think out of 55, only 13 European countries are going to the World Cup, so to make up that ground is impossible. So nobody's talking about him getting to the World Cup, but it's implementing things and having a decent team for the Euros in 2028 when that comes to Dublin. So it'll be, the pressure will ease. Trapattoni was the same machine, you know, he maintained. Trapattoni didn't go to games and he had the same approach. He said, when I can watch from my TV in Milan, I can watch so many games. If I go to a game, I'm in airports, I'm in taxis, I'm in, you know, traffic, I'm getting stuck in places. So the proof will be in what he does. So that criticism will ramp up if they lose this week. Nobody's going to call for him to be sacked, I think, if they lose the 2 games this week. But I think, again, I think in the inquest, when this is all over, the focus will fall back on the FAI. Why did they allow this? Why did they wait so long for Halgrimsson when the manager should have been in, if not March, it should have been there in June when we had those games in Port. That's when you get to know players. And it's something Mick McCarthy used to often say, Oisin, was that he liked away camps because it's when you get to spend time with players and players spend time with each other. And it's not so much the training ground, but getting to know each other, going for a walk, going for a coffee, playing table tennis. That's when you build up morale. And he should have had that time in June and he hasn't had it. He went straight in. He had 2 days training before the games in September. So that pressure will ramp up, I think, more on the FAI than on Halgrimsson if this Nations League campaign goes bad and if we are relegated, which I think we possibly could be.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's move on to the League of Ireland. Hopefully the Republic of Ireland will get the result this evening and try and get something positive out of it. But there's a positive look upon the League of Ireland and Irish football at the moment, given that the title running is so exciting. We haven't had it for a long time. There's 3 sides that can win it here. There's only a handful of games left, and I'm sure as a writer with The Independent and The Herald, it's enjoyable for you as well in your workplace, Aidan, that you're able to describe about what's happening and Irish football in the League of Ireland. But it's fascinating, to say the least.
It is, and it's good that it's not just a Dublin thing. I mean, particularly for Shamrock Rovers, they won 4 in a row. Really, they won them without any challenge from anybody. I mean, I think in the COVID year, when Bohemians were runners-up, I think they'd have won with 3 games to go, but there wasn't really a challenge from Bohemians. So Shamrock Rovers really have romped home. I suppose there are a lot of talk about the quality of the game, and Stephen Bradley questioned that last week. He said that the quality wasn't great. Damien Duff answered that back, and I'm sure John Caulfield would feel the same, that those clubs took it as a slight. But the fact that Derry are in it, it's not just a Dublin thing, it's not just Shelburne and Shamrock Rovers, that it's bringing it into Galway. I think Galway's rise has been remarkable. I think they're going to be ones to watch next year. I think next season is going to be fascinating because teams, whoever misses out on Europe, will see how close they came. So if Galway don't make Europe, which I think they very well could, you can see the Comers, who own it, putting serious money into Galway to make them strong next year. Derry the same, if Derry win it. And it's proved as well that the biggest game in Irish football really is that first round of the Champions League next year, because if you win that first round of the Champions League, really, in a way, no matter what happens after that, it kind of doesn't matter, because if you get over that hurdle, because your path then to the group stages and to the Europa League, so win that, for that's worth millions, that game, the first round of the Champions League. Obviously, to be there, you have to win the domestic league. So there is an awful lot of money at stake in these games. And it is interesting in the fact that it just seems to be the league that nobody wants to win. Everybody has the fact that Shamrock Rovers have been so poor and nobody else has taken advantage. The fact that Shelburne are still top and have had, I think it's 1 win in 9, is a huge indictment of the other teams, that they haven't been able to to take advantage. Now, the big game really recently was Drogheda beating Derry City. That was Derry's big chance to go ahead and to move on and push on. If you're a Drogheda fan, that's probably offensive to you and Kevin Doherty and Drogheda, that they deserve that win and Derry weren't good enough to beat Drogheda. So it is interesting. It's around the country and you could be going to the last day where the title's up for grabs. That hasn't happened in a long time. You know, but previously we had that great bat rival between Cork City and Dundalk, kind of a decade ago or a few years ago, but that was just two teams. Now you've four. And I honestly don't know who's going to win it at this stage. I think Shelburne are just in such a rush at this stage. I don't think Shamrock Rovers are good enough. There are a lot of injuries. The issue now with Stephen Bradley suspension, that's an added complication for them. I think it's Derry's to win. It's in Shelburne's hands. If Shelburne win all their games, of course they win the league, but I think just Shelburne so poor, I think it's up to Derry now to show, to get over the line, and for Derry City to do it.
Yep. Can you see Derry City won their five remaining league games and take a cup final to win the double, given the form that they have had coming in now to this closing period? Is it something that you can envisage from them, Aidan? Because some people would say, no, it's not going to happen. But
it depends. It depends which Derry turns up. I've seen Derry good this year where they've been very unimpressive. They just lacked an edge. They just lacked leadership. Very let me down. I thought they were magnificent against away to Bohemians last week. In every aspect of the game, this term has come in recently: game management and. It's overused a bit. It's just football, really. But I thought the game from the centre halves, particularly Wisdom and Connolly, they just bossed the game machine. They both didn't get a look in. It really was like a team from two divisions below. They were clever. I think they're missing players. You know, Kelly's missing. Dummigan is a big blow, but I think Mickey Duffy is hitting form. Patrick McElhenney is back. Shane McElhenney is an option again off the bench. You know, the players they brought in recently, the likes of Davenport, I think Diallo is a huge influence. So If Derry turn up, if the Derry I saw, Derry City I saw away to Bohemians last Friday, when I thought they were magnificent, one of the best performances I've seen at Dalymount this year, if that Derry can turn up for the rest of the season, yes, they'll win the league. But if we get the flaky Derry that we saw away to Shells a couple of weeks ago when they didn't create, away to Drogheda when they lost, if that Derry turns up, they're just going to hand the advantage. And then it's just whoever stutters over the line. It'll be somebody falling over the line. Shelburne or Shamrock Rovers might fall over the line. I think Shelburne really, just squad has been tested the last while. They really missed Paddy Barrett last week. They're missing Matty Smith. Those little issues add in as well. You know, Matty Smith is missing for a few. That suspension, as I mentioned, for Stephen Bradley, that's going to disrupt the camp. And it's a very bad reflection. The pictures have been floating around the last couple of days of Stephen Bradley on the walkie-talkie, communicating with the staff when he was supposed to be suspended last week. It's just not a good look for Shamrock Rovers as a club to be doing that. And I'm surprised that a manager as clever and as experienced as Bradley allowed that happen. And the pictures are damning, that you're not allowed if you're suspended, you're not allowed to communicate with the bench or with the dugout. Steve Bradley has a dugout, has a walkie-talkie in his hand, that Shamrock Rovers weren't more clever, weren't, you know, we know the famous story about Jose Mourinho hiding in the laundry basket, but that Shamrock Rovers weren't more clever. That, to me, showed a little bit of a panic from them in terms of doing whatever they can to win that game. So, yeah, if Derry can get it together, keep it together, and keep McElhenney in form, keep Mickey Duffy in that form, I think Derry can do it.
Yeah. We'll mention St Pat's here as well. If there was another two or three weeks added on to the end of the season, we would probably be suggesting that St Patrick's Athletic would be in with a shout of the title here.
Yeah, and you often wonder the timing of things. I mean, you know, when you get rid of a manager, John Daly, obviously very hard for St Pat's to sack him. He was an FAI Cup winning manager. But if Stephen Kenny had another month to work with the squad at the other end, or if the season had another month to go, just because Pat's look so strong and in all areas, and Ang has settled in goal, they look strong at the back, they're not conceding. The wide players, their attacking options are immense. I mean, you've got Mulroney and El Bazzetti out wide. And again, options for St Pat's. They've got Mason Melia. He'll miss the Bowes game on Monday because he'll be away with the Irish under 21s. But they bring Aidan Keane. You know, that's the problem. The Shamrock Rovers really haven't missed Rory Gaffney this year. So even though St Pat's won't have Aidan Keane, even though they won't have Mason Melia, they have someone like Aidan Keane to bring in. So I think Pat's are, and I think I would already know if Pat's can add, which they will do. I think Gary Keller has backed the club financially. He'll look at it and see. And again, the European money I mentioned earlier on, Gareth Keller will look at that European money, the prize for being champion. So I would think St Pat's already would look strong for next season. But you're right. I do think if there's another three games to go, I could see St Pat's winning four games in a row. I don't know how many other. I can't see Shelburne or Shamrock Rovers winning four games in a row, but Pat's have the ability to do that.
Yeah. The games this weekend: Waterford play Drogheda, and of course Derry taking on Bowes on Friday. Next Monday, Derry play Sligo, and St Pat's are going to make the short trip to the north side to take on Bowes. Bohemians. It is, of course, International Week, but there is matches as well in the First Division. And we'll focus in on Fun Harps just finally, Aidan. They're away to Bray Wanderers. They've got Wexford at home next Monday. They have Treaty at home next Friday. That brings an end to the regular season in the First Division. They are 5 points off the playoff places. Do you feel it's out of reach for them at this stage?
You mentioned the 3 games in a week, and I just think that's the problem for them for a part-time club. I think even a full-time Premier Division club with all the assets they'd have in terms of the options they have in terms of recovery and studio, and, you know, Stephen Bradley has far more things at his disposal in terms of recovery time and physio and everything else than Darren Murphy does. A lot of those Finn Harps players begin to get into work. They're playing a Friday night, it's playing a Monday night and go into work on Tuesday or go to college, or a lot of the boys are in school or education. I think if the games were spaced out, they would have a chance. I think that the timing of it, and also the teams they're up against, the teams are playing, have something to play. Bray and Wexford clearly have something to play for because in the playoffs as well. Treaty, okay, you'd expect Harps to win, Harps to be Treaty, but I think Wexford showed against Drogheda the other week how good they were. I really, really liked it. I think James Kelly has done a magnificent job at Wexford this year. A young team attacking, they went to Drogheda and attacked the game. So, unfortunately, I don't think so. You know, they might get one win. I don't think they get three, and they really need three to make up that ground over Wexford and Bray ahead of them. So, unfortunately, just the timing of it. And Darren Murphy's right to have a moan about the season. Having had no game for so long, they didn't have 3 games in a week. It is very unfair, and I do think at the end of the season, the FAI do need to have another look at scheduling and fixture lists and everything else, because it is very unfair on Harps to have had so long without a game and then cram in three games. It's not fair. It's not fair in player welfare. It's not fair in supporters. Trying to travel, even trying to get to home games. It's not fair in Finn Harps to have those 3 games in a week. So just unfortunately, it's those factors combine against Harps.
Okay, there you go, Aidan. That's it. Thanks for joining us today for a piece on League of Ireland football. And obviously, you're in Helsinki for the Irish game tonight. Here's hoping we get a result. And we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Oisín.
That's Aidan Fitzmaurice of the Herald and the Sunday Independent, who spoke to me earlier today before he headed off to the stadium in Helsinki for Ireland's game against Finland, which starts, of course, at 7:45. Locally in soccer, taking centre stage this weekend is the latest round of matches from sides involved in the Inishowen and the Donegal League in the FAI Junior Cup. There's 2 matches on Friday evening. Kilmacrenan Celtic are taking on Milford United, while Letterkenny Rovers are up against Gweedore Celtic. And in the competition on Sunday, it's Greencastle against St Catharines. Lagan Harps play Aya. Donegal Town will meet Cockhill Celtic. Clonmany Shamrocks host Redcastle United in an all-in-a-shown affair. Fannage United play Cager Rovers, and in another all-Donegal clash, it's Swilly Rovers ticking on Funtown Harps. There's also matches to be played in the Donegal Junior and the Inishowen Leagues, both on Saturday and Sunday. We're going to take a quick commercial break here in the Score programme tonight. When we come back, we'll be looking ahead to Sunday's Donegal Senior Football Championship final between St Unans and Dunlow.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Gear up for the championship with all your training and matchday essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Welcome back to The Score. It is, of course, a huge weekend for St Unans and Dunlow, who will contest this Sunday's Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Donegal Senior Football Championship final in McCool Park in Ballybuffet. Now, there was a special live programme from Ross's Park in Dunlow last Monday night as Brendan Devaney and Pádraig Hulfreidy took the DL debate out on the road to Dunlow ahead of the final. And that programme is available now to listen back to in the sports section and the playback section of our websites, highlandradio.com. But tonight we're going to hear from the managers of both sides. Coming up shortly, we'll be speaking with Dunlow boss Desi Gallagher. But first, we're going to get the thoughts from the Letterkenny side, who are going into the contest as hot favourites and looking to win their first senior title since 2021. If victorious, St Unans, of course, will go to the top spot in the Donegal Senior Football Championship Roll of Honour. It would be a 16th title if they were to take victory this weekend. Ahead of the game this week, I've been speaking to the St Unans boss, Barry Meehan, who's in good spirits in the lead-up to the big game. What's the mood in the camp like now, just a couple of days out ahead of a county final, Barry?
It's good, Oisin. I suppose at this stage of the year, everybody's looking forward to the game, you know. We got a good weekend behind us last weekend. We had a couple of days off after the semi-final. I suppose it's the fact that boys had kind of been out 4 weeks on the bounce at that stage, and we felt, you know, that emotionally they were kind of drained a bit after the Gidor game, so we took a few days off to recharge the batteries and that, but we got back at it late last week and into the weekend, you know, so good weekend's training behind us, and we'll meet up again now during the week and get ready for the weekend. But no, the mood's good and boys are looking forward to it, you know. I suppose when you set out at the start of the year, you set out your stall, this is where you want to be, so ultimately we're back in a county final, and that was the goal at the start of the year, so hopefully now we can go one more, you know.
Yeah, obviously you're in your first year of your second term as St Union's manager, and there's always a feeling around the O'Donnell Park club that St Union's need to be competing in county finals and lifting the Dr Maguire Cup. Is there added pressure with that, the fact that they have won two in the last 10 years and felt maybe there should have been more? Is there an added pressure being involved in St Union's as a management, as a player, that there's this success here that you have to achieve?
I wouldn't say it's an added pressure. You know, when you're involved in the club, you know, for, I suppose, as long as I've been, different capacities down through the years, I suppose it's the expectations there, Oisin, you know, and I don't mean that with any disregard to other teams or anything like that, but Union's, you know, as a club, expect to be competing in county finals and expect to be winning them too, but unfortunately that doesn't always happen because you come up against better teams on the day, and you know, maybe you're not as fully prepared as you should have been, and you get your wings clipped, and listen, if that there happens, well, you have to take that in the chin, you know. But ultimately, well, St Union's, you have to be looking at being county finals and competing in county finals, and that's where you want to be, and that's where we want to be, you know.
And Barry, there's no doubt that St Union's have had the long road and the hard road to the final. You've played some of the best teams in the county to get to the decider. You've also had a campaign which has been tinged with sadness following the passing of Aidan McGlynn, who was a value member of the St Union's club. So how hard has the campaign been for you, Barry?
It has, but listen, it's an enjoyable campaign, apart from maybe that one weekend along the road, you know. But, you know, suppose when the draw was made and we were drawn against Kilcare and Newconnell in the first two games, it really sharpened the focus early on, Oisin. You know, when we had the guts of 4 to 6 weeks to get prepared for that there, and when we put the head down for that time and we got ourselves ready, you know, and then suppose when you get drawn Edor, then the game after that there, you know, we did well, suppose, in those two games, and then suppose we got our wings clipped against Edor, but that was an important game because it kind of helped us recalibrate and kind of get back to the drawing board, you know. And then unfortunately with Aidan's passing on the fourth weekend of the championship, you know, it kind of, football, you know, wasn't really at the forefront of our minds, you know. We went to Downing's that Saturday evening and we kind of went in there and we got out of there as quick as we could, with more important things to be doing that weekend. And I mean that with all respect to Downing's, but it just, you know, football wasn't at the forefront of our mind that weekend. And, you know, suppose we got back on the wagon then against Ardrahan. That was a really, really tough game, you know. They really brought it to us, and that probably set us up very well for the quarter-final against Niamh Connell, you know, that we had that good, tough game the week before. You know, probably stood us in good stead. And I suppose from our first half performance against Niamh Connell, you know, you probably knew that we were sharp on it from the week before, you know. Unfortunately, we didn't follow it up in the second half, I suppose partly due to us and partly due to how Niamh Connell came out in the second half and really brought the game to us. But listen, we got over the line there, and then I suppose when you look back on it, it's probably very hard to raise yourself up. And again, no disrespect to Edor, like, they probably brought their game plan to us, but like, it was very hard to raise ourselves up for the second week in a row like that there. But we did, and we just did enough, you know. We got over the line against them, but like, we left the semi-final. You know, the changing room was a very, very quiet place. There was no jumping about or roaring or shouting or nothing like that there after one in the semi final. It was basically, God, lads, we have a lot of work to do for the final, and I suppose we've put our head down since, and hopefully now we'll have the proper work done come the weekend.
And obviously it's your job then to lift these guys, you and your management team. Obviously we've got Brendan Devaney alongside you and Kieran Sharkey's there, just to name two of a few, Barry, and it's your role to lift the guys. What sort of rise are these boys going to have to take if they're going to get over the line by beating Dunlow? What sort of performance level will be required if you are going to win this?
Well, I suppose the biggest thing is that we need to focus on ourselves, actually, number one. And I suppose the lads themselves set set the standards of performance. You know, every day we go out and they're very, very honest, and they take real ownership of the game plan, you know. So they're very honest in their feedback, and they're very honest in the criticism of each other, themselves individually and as the team, and where they need to improve, you know. So that was that's the first thing they need to do, you know. They needed to look at themselves, which they did, you know. And that was, you know, then you have the likes of Davie there and Sharks, who have, like, I don't know how many county titles between the two of them alone, along with Dalta. Like, and all those lads have valuable knowledge and valuable wisdom to give to the boys. Like, you know, and bit by bit they've been chatting away to them over the last number of weeks, you know, and getting them ready for these games, you know. And that experience that they bring to the table is invaluable. Like, we're very, very lucky to have, you know, a management team that has such experience, you know.
Yeah. St. Unan's obviously are going to be the favourites for this. The media is all talking it up that Unan's are the hot favourites to lift the Dr. Maguire. But in saying that, there comes a warning with Dunlow too, doesn't there, Barry?
Oh, very much so. Like, and as I mentioned to somebody already, like, that, you know, on paper, we might be hot favourites, but paper doesn't produce performances, you know. We have to produce it on the pitch, you know, and that's what it's about. Like, we have to worry about ourselves. Dunlow, we're going to bring a serious intensity to it, you know. Saw them against St. Michael's in the semi-final, very, very impressed with them. Like, they really, really transition the ball very fast from one end of the field to the other, you know, with the likes of the three Kearns, Mark, Barry and Darren. You know, add that there to it, the young lads like Carol McGee and Aaron Ward and Dara Gallagher, like, they have a real, real good blend, you know, and a real good mix, you know. So we'll have to be on it at the weekend, and listen, I don't doubt they'll come with something different, you know, and we'll have to deal with that there as well.
Yeah. Just finally then, players-wise, no injuries to report. How are you fixed on that front ahead of a very important game, Barry?
Thankfully, Oisín, a fully fit panel. It's great to be going into county final week with a fully fit panel. Nobody carrying any niggles or knocks, which is good, you know.
That's the St. Unan's manager, Barry Meehan, hoping that his side get over the line this coming weekend. But what an occasion it is for Dunlow. Back in a final for the first time in 60 years. And it's been 66 years since they last lifted the title in 1958. Just 2 years ago, they took the intermediate crown, and now they find themselves back in a senior decider as a Dunlow club for the first time in six decades. At the recent launch of the finals, I spoke with their manager, Desi Gallagher, who said he always believed that the club would reach the county showpiece.
So, Desi, we're looking forward to the final. You've had a couple of days for the semi-final one to process. So, what's the feelings now going into it? Has it changed from the end of that semi-final and the Balbuffet McCool Park when you beat St. Michael's?
Sunday was great, you know. Sunday was brilliant to have all the people there and out on the pitch as well, you know, and everybody came over for the ladies game, and it was great to have a big crowd there and to celebrate it. Like, Sunday was about us getting over the line, and we did. We stumbled over the line, but we got there, and look, at as everybody said, it was 60 years. It was brilliant. And there was a great atmosphere in the town Sunday night, and it was brilliant. But now we're back to looking forward to a game and a few days time, and that's where that's
not hard to adjust to, is it?
Not
get your head round or focus down, chisel down at it again.
Not really. No, look at how if you were taking home a cup, then it's time to adjust. But we're not. We're looking forward to going to a county final day and everything that it brings. Like, we're just looking forward to being there.
And I know, speaking to you after that semi-final one, you had talked to your players after COVID that the target was to be in a senior final. So this was all part of the blueprint, Desi, by the sounds of it.
Well, it was part of mine. And I always believe, I've believed since I was a player that we could be there. And it's no different now. As I said to somebody today, 35 years or 36 years trying to be there, you know. And look at how, when we started playing, that's all we wanted to do. You know, everybody in Dunlow wants to play in the senior final. And look at, we were never lucky enough, but these boys are. And hopefully we can put up a show when we get there, that we're not just making up the numbers.
And listen, it's a really solid group that you have, and it's all made up of guys that are related to each other. There's cousins and there's family members and brothers and everything all mixed in there. But they're part of groups who had underage tasted success, Desi, as well. And this is now you're seeing the fruit of it through year.
Most of them now, the first group there would have been, You know, even you take a Connor Green, like they were playing in county finals when they were underage as well, and would have won Division 2 final, championship finals, you know, and that's going back to, I probably managed Connor at under 12, you know, so then you go to Darren Curran and them boys there, they were always competing in finals, and Mark and Barry and them, Ryan Connors, they all won their, Jason McBride was in that team as well. There's six, seven of them, I think, on it that won that under 16 out in Termin that day against Unions, you know. And then Karen McGee's group then went on and won an A final at under 14, you know. And we had a minor success at Division 2 during COVID with Dara and Karen McGee and all them were on that team. Aaron Wire, they were all on that team as well. So look at Ty, there has been wee bits of success in Dunloe at underage. But look at, this is a different level of success with these boys because they won and they went to two intermediate finals and won one of them, you know. And look at, they've pushed on and they're pushing on all the time. And look at, they'll not stop after Sunday week. They'll want to push on again.
Is the build up different for this senior than what it was like for those intermediates that you were involved in?
Yeah, probably it will be. Look at, we're kind of trying to stay on the periphery of it a wee bit, you know. But look at it, it'll be massive. There's no doubt in it. Look at it, it'll be massive. The town, you've seen yourself on Sunday. Look at, the town's going to be mental. It's everybody wants to talk about it. Everybody that meets a player wants to talk about it. That's the way it is, you know. And there's no point in us saying to them that it's not going to be that way. It is going to be that way, you know. But that's, look at Oisín. Everybody wants to be in a county final, and Dunloe's no different than anybody else in the county, you know.
Listen, whatever's happened in the championship so far, that's it parked, because this is a new challenge for you. But what's it going to take? Like, these guys beat Unions at underage in big finals. Now they're here in the senior stage against them. If you are going to get the hands of the Dr. Maguire, what's it going to take?
It's going to take a lot of work. A lot of hard work, you know, because they, to me, and I said at the start of the year, they're the best players in the county. They have the best players in the county. And, you know, look, you can see them, the O'Donnells, Kieran Moore, you know, like, there's not only two O'Donnells that play in the county, there's three of them that are equally, like, Connor's as good as the other two boys, you know. And then you have Eamon Doherty, who played for the county for years. Like, it's, if every one of them's played at county level, you know, and that's the difference. Look, they're the team. They have the players because they have the numbers in Letterkenny, and every other team is trying to get up to it. And we're just coming and under the radar there, and hopefully we can put up a show against them and see where we take it.
Yeah, but it's final. Final day, and anything can happen, Desi. You need to understand that as well. You may be underdogs, but anything can happen on the day.
We know anything can happen. We were 13 points up against Lochinvar, and we threw it away. So yeah. Anything can happen, and hopefully, look at, we can stay. Look at, we're there. We're there to try and do our best and try and win the game, but we have a serious challenge in our hands with the team that they have, you know.
That's Desi Gallagher, the Dunloe manager, looking ahead to what is a huge occasion for the club on Sunday. St Unions are the opposition. And if you can't make it as far as McCool Park in Balbuffet on Sunday, you can, of course, tune Highlands Way. There's a 4 o'clock start, and we'll have full live match commentary here in Highland. I'll be joined by Brendan Kilcoyne and Martin McHugh in the commentary position. Pádraig Holford will be joining us as well. We're putting him on the roving mic. He'll be down below the press area getting all the reaction from that game. And indeed, we'll also have reaction from the Senior B final, which involves St Unions as well. They take on Gidor, and that game starts at 1:45. So a big Sunday ahead for Highland Radio Sport as we bring you live coverage of that senior decider. Those two games are not the only finals taking place this weekend, because the Donegal Senior C decider is on Friday evening at the GA Centre in Convoy. Niamh Connell are playing St Unions, and there's an 8 o'clock throw-in time there. And there's also minor Division 1 and Division 2 Cup finals to be played on Saturday. Both games are at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny, and we will have coverage with Ryan Ferry of the Donegal News from both of these matches as well. The Division 2 final is Termin against Ardragh at 2 o'clock, and Four Masters will meet Niamh Connell in the Division 1 final. Four Masters going for 3 minor titles in a row, and that one gets underway at 4. There is other championship action being played across the northwest this weekend as well, particularly in Derry. The junior football final is on Saturday at Celtic Park with Craig Bann against Ballymacguigan. There's a 3 o'clock throw-in time there to that game, while the rest of the fixtures are being made up of intermediate and senior semi-finals. So the intermediate semi-finals are Fáil Mhíle against Drumcéan on Saturday at Owen Beg at 6:15. And back at the same venue, 2:00 on Sunday, it's Ballinderry against Banagher. And then we have the two senior semi-finals as well, also at Owen Beg on Saturday evening at 8:15. Newbridge are playing O'Donovan Rossa of Mahara Felt. And then the big one on Sunday at 4:00, at Slochneil against Glen. Glen, of course, the reigning Derry, Ulster and All-Ireland champions. They're in, Malachy O'Rourke is the man in charge. Will this be his last game in charge of Glen? Slochneil are looking to make a big statement in the championship. No doubt that is one of the standout championship games right across the country this weekend. And in Tyrone, the replay of the semi-final and intermediate level between Moy and Greencastle is on Saturday at Healy Park in Omagh. Starts at 7:15. The winners will go through to play Derry Loughlin in the final the following week. And the Tyrone Junior Football Final is on this weekend. It's at Healy Park on Sunday, Ahaloomi Collegial, and there's a 3:30 throw-in time there for that game on Sunday. Okay, time for a commercial break. When we return, the final piece, we'll be dealing with a rallying event in the Northwest this weekend.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Check out the new Kids Nastics range for young gymnasts at michaelmurphysports.ie.
And you're welcome back to The Score here on Highland. The final section of the programme tonight is dealing with motorsport and rallying in particular. The final round of the Sligo Pallet Sporter Rally Championship, the Triton Shires National Rally Championship and the Donegal Commercial Vehicles Donegal Motor Club Championship is taking place this coming Saturday. It's the 2024 edition of the Donegal Harvest Stages Rally with a headquarters based out of the Orchard on the High Road in Letterkenny, and it's gearing up to be a fantastic event because there certainly is an impressive entry for this event. And it was, of course, 2 years ago when it last took place, and it was part of the national championship as well. Callum Devine won on that occasion, and he will have number one on the car again. It's been a big year for Callum so far. Himself and his navigator Noel O'Sullivan, of course, won the Donegal International outright back in June. And there's some very interesting stages for the Harvest Rally this year as well, based on the outskirts of Letterkenny, also round about the Milford Remelton area. So a lot of quality stages for competitors to tackle. To look forward now to the event. I'm delighted to say I'm joined by a man that knows a thing or two about rallying, countrywide and also in Donegal. So on the pace notes, Killian Duffy. As always, Killian, you're welcome back to Highland Radio.
Oisin, it's always great times talking to you. There's always something exciting happening in Donegal. And as I said, it's hard to believe the international was 3 or 4 months ago. But time's going quick. But the Harvest have an equally fantastic lineup of cars, and it's going to be a great battle, I think.
Yeah, listen, delighted to have you on the show this evening. I suppose the thing that stood out the launch a couple of weeks ago, Killian, that we did, was the sheer quality of the entry. Like any international rally would be delighted to have it, but this is a one-day national rally, so it is with a shorter distance kilometres, obviously. But the best of the best is coming back to Donegal to round off the year.
100%. It's just, Donegal, has it all, from a competitor's point of view. Everyone raises their game. Everyone gets excited. Everyone knows the event is happening. And, the competitors enter it. And like, as you said, possibly the best, or one of the best lineups of the year, certainly for a national round. But even, as you say, if it was the international, it's still a fantastic entry of both R5/Rally 2 cars. And also the modified battle is going to be fantastic as well. But like when you're looking at the first modified car at 16 and the next one then at number 20, it shows you the level of quality of machinery that's out there. And I mean, I always say it, there's no country in the world with better rallying than what we have here. It's ultra competitive, and just the buzz about it generally, and everyone's sort of invested in it now. I think post-COVID, the buzz about rallying is way beyond what it was pre-COVID. I think people realised, where communities weren't really understanding the benefit the rally was bringing to the area, financially for so many businesses. I think people realise now after COVID, when the rally comes to town, if people spend a lot of money in petrol stations and restaurants and so many different businesses, that it's such a great buzz for an area. And I think with the rotating calendar Motorsport Ireland have introduced, where most counties just run a rally every second year, I think then it further enhances the buzz then, because, you know, they make a bigger deal of it, the local communities and the local clubs, every 2 years. So, yeah, it's great. And as I said, this weekend's going to be a fantastic battle for the Triton Showers Championship.
Yeah, and for the Sligo Palace Border Championship and the Donegal Commercials Club Championship as well. But there's lots to play for. And there's among those championships, Killian, there's quite a few competitors who can end the year by picking up a title.
Correct. I'm just looking at the overall battle. I think sort of Josh Moffat is favoured for the Triton Showers title, but Sam Moffat, I believe if Sam Moffat wins and gets bonus points on the power stage, he'll take the championship, regardless of where Josh finishes. So it's going to be a tight battle between the two brothers from Monaghan, and number two and four, Matt Edwards, is a non-starter. But number one on the road is, of course, last year's winner, the international rally winner as well, Callum Devine, his new Skoda. And I think this car is really suiting Callum. And, to be honest with you, he's just getting more and more comfortable in it. And I think I can't see anyone beating Callum Devine this weekend. I just think he's just clicked and everything's clicked exactly for him. He's match fit. And I think the latest generation car he's out in is just, everything is just gelled well together. But again, the Moffats aren't going to be too concerned about Callum. If he does take the win, they're concerned about the Triton Showers Irish National Championship. Then the outside bets, then Daniel Clone and Eddie Doherty as well. Eddie hasn't won an event this year, but is still in the mix for the championship. But again, you know, he's not far off a win. I don't think the Harvest will be a win for him. But, you know, you look back through the entry list, it's fantastic. You know, behind him, Declan Boyle won in Wexford, of course, fantastic. Michael Boyle, again, has shown some great speed. Desi Henry, Aidan Ray, Gary Kernan. And then, of course, we have the modified winner from Donegal International, Declan Gallagher, is out in a Rally 2 Fiesta hire car. So that is fantastic to see as well. I would say if Declan finished in the top five would be an unbelievable achievement. It's not easy to sit into these cars to drive them at 100%. It's probably easy enough to sit in and drive them at 80%, but to drive them to 100% takes a lot of commitment. And it's like the Rally 2 cars, as Kevin Eves learned, are totally different than the modified. You know, modified generally has more power, but doesn't corner on medium speed corners as well. Whereas all the times in the more modern cars, they're all on medium speed corners. They're not that fast up the gears, really. But on medium speed corners, the way the chassis and the suspension works is where the time is. But it's telling your brain that it will go around the medium speed corners at the speed that you can do it is the bit that's going to probably hamper, you know, Declan Gallagher, even Kevin Eves. Because to be fair, Kevin's had 2 days in a Rally 2 car, but he hasn't really. He had a poor run in Galway summer with just a slight off on the first stage, came back under Rally 2. And then Cork 20, I wouldn't count that as a competitive outing in the event because the weather was just so bad. So, yeah, there's so much to look forward to. There's so many people to talk to and interview. It's going to be a great weekend. And, of course, moving on to the modifieds, Kevin Gallagher in the Darien is going to be one to watch. But again, Daniel McKenna, the speed he's showing, particularly in Galway summer, was outstanding. Gary McPhillips, of course, Conor Harvey lives at the start of the third stage. So that's going to be Richard Moffat. I mean, the names go on, Michael Carbon. And then Eamon Kelly is back doing his local rally in his Rally 3 Fiesta. So he could be a dark horse for a top 10 as well.
You mentioned Kevin Gallagher there. Killian, he, of course, and Daniel McKenna are in with a shout of winning the national modified section. The national championship also includes a Mark II challenge, which Michael Carbon and Convoy's Dino Sullivan will be hoping to secure. The junior championship has become a Donegal shootout with Jordan Jarvis and Kyle McDade, currently separated by 2 points, resulting in a winner-takes-all situation in the Harvest. In the Sligo Pallets Border Championship, Marty Toner and Sam Johnston are joined first overall, with Gareth Deasley and Cahill Sheridan joined second, and Sam Moffat is third. All drivers only separated by 2 points. And again, that is very much open. While in the Donegal Commercial Vehicles Club Championship, you mentioned Conor Harvey there. He's the clear leader ahead of Kevin Gallagher and Jason Mooney and Johnny Wilhere sitting in joint third. And in the Navigators, Aidan Freely leads Rory Kennedy by 14 points. So that's a bit of a championship update going into the Harvest. There's 3 stages there. Obviously, Killian, you've been over these now a couple of times doing your notes on the pace notes. And there are 3 very interesting, challenging and exciting stages is how the competitors are describing it, because there's parts of internationals in here, there's a finish in Rathmullen, and this all bodes well and is indicating that this could be a super event because of the quality of the stages.
Absolutely. Everything is just lining up here, you know, from the perspective of the entry list, but also the stages. I mean, the Trenta stage, traditionally, you know, not exactly the same, but a lot of it would have ran the same in the international a few years ago. It's a brilliant stage, so busy. Different sections in it where it's quite narrow and that. Then they go on to Cairn Hill. Cairn Hill traditionally would be ran the opposite direction. There's only small pieces of it that was used this year and the previous year, tiny sections of it. But generally, Cairn Hill, I would say, in this direction is actually harder to get a flow on for the crews. So there will be time difference here. You know, no one will be that familiar with the way, you know, it's going up the hill, we'll call it, rather than down the hill. So it's going to be different for crews. And then the third stage ending in Remelton is just something, you know, hugely nostalgic about that. And it brings a great sense of an event to an area. And hopefully it's not the end of Remelton. I think it'll be a fitting finish to the Donegal International Rally for 2025. And maybe I'm jumping the gun here, but, you know, everyone remembers the Pink Sierra and James Cullen, you know, going through the streets and great nostalgia. And I think that I can see what the club are trying to do, bringing it to the town. And there's nothing to be afraid of with town stages. I mean, I do notes in events all over the UK, and they regularly run town stages, you know, in the Scottish Championship and the Welsh Championship. And I think it brings a great dynamic to the event, because, you know, your normal person that isn't into rallying, you know, their children might go to school and they're hearing there's a rally on. At least it's easy for them to establish where to watch it, rather than having to get a programme, trying to find where the stage is. I know Donegal is slightly different, that nearly every household knows somebody rallying. But I think the opportunity to bring town stages back, I think is fantastic for the sport. And as I said, your casual viewer, you know, that might go along with their young kids. The kids might only have a patience level. I know myself from my own crew that they might only watch a rally for a half an hour, but at least they've watched it in a nice environment, a safe environment, and then they have all the amenities of the town then to make a great day out of it. And of course, then you have people, kids that might get into rallying because it was such a positive experience, rather than maybe standing out in a cold field, having to walk a kilometre into the stage or 2 kilometres. You know, it just brings rallying to the people, and I think it's a fantastic initiative, and I think other clubs should look at doing it for sure.
Yeah, well,
possible, obviously.
Well, hopefully we'll see more of that in the future, particularly in Donegal. Just lastly then, call it, who's going to win this rally? Is it going to be a double in the year for Callum Devine, or is it going to be Mr. Cronin, Mr. Moffat? Who do you think?
I think it's going to be Callum Devine. I think he's just so strong in that car, to be honest. And to be honest, I think anyone getting ready I know, obviously, Keith Cronin is the tarmac champion this year, but to be honest, heading into Galway next year, the kilometres he is under his belt in that Skoda Rally 2, I mean, it's the latest specification. I think Callum's going to be very hard to beat moving forward, even the end of this year, obviously, in the Donegal Harvest. And I also think next year I'd be backing him to be hard to beat next year, to be honest. I think in the Triton, I think Josh has it just to lose, so he has to be favoured in that. And the modifieds, I'm going to go slightly out of it here. I'm going to go with Daniel McKenna instead of Kevin Gallagher. But, you know, that's just who my money be on. So, and I think
the Donegal supporters will not like that. Well. The Donegal supporters won't like you saying that, Killian.
No, that's right. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I'm not always right, so we'll wait and see. But again, thanks very much for having me on.
No bother. Give yourself a plug there before we finish. What's happening on Saturday?
So if anyone wants to follow our live interviews from the end of all the stages, follow on the Pace Note on Facebook. So we're going live from every stage. And again, we'll give a rundown of the leaderboard. We'll talk to the crews and we'll have a bit of action. And also we'll have a full highlights package going out in the Flying Finn Motorsport channel, and also our own Rally TV YouTube channel as well. So thanks for that.
Killian, as always, many thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you on Saturday out and about in Donegal.
Thanks very much, Oisin.
Killian is going to have a busy weekend ahead of him in Donegal, and likewise, we'll have a busy one here too on Highland on Saturday. You can tune our way. We will have hourly updates for you from the Donegal Harvest Stages Rally, all brought to you in association with the Orchard and the High Road in Letterkenny. The first of those is scheduled to go to air around about 11 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, and then we'll have updates throughout the rest of the day, which promises to be a fantastic race. And that is it from the Score programme for tonight. Don't forget, if you missed any of the show, you will be able to recap at the sports section of our website shortly. That's highlandradio.com. So it's left of your Thursday evening. Have a very good evening. Enjoy.